Are you ready, all you fans out there in out there land? I say it's time again. Have mercy, let the congregation say, hey, man. It's time for the biggest, baddest party in the world. So get on up, turn it up a notch, and get ready to boogie, baby. Ow!
From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Anago to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Alex Cook.
Welcome to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this wonderful Wednesday evening, second Wednesday in March. Sun's still out. First time that we could say that in a long time. Hope you're having a great day so far today. Got a lot to get into here. We've obviously got NFL free agency. We're going to have Bill Schmidt from 97.3 The Game on as we will sit down and talk about new Packers, Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney on the roster, as well as the departures of Aaron Jones, David Bakhtiari and Devondre Campbell. Also, we'll be going over the Badgers in their Big Ten tournament, what they need to do in order to maintain, in my opinion, a top five seed in the NCAA tournament coming up, because it certainly looks like they're going to make it. And we'll also go over the start of the Hatchet spring sports season. Track and field coach Kurt Cordova will stop in to talk about the year, the team, and what to expect from them in their first meet coming up in just under a week. But first, we're going to hit the hardwood and talk some Milwaukee Bucks.
Win. 5.2 left. No timeouts left for the Bucks. Here comes Dame. 3 seconds. Dame pulls for the win. Dame time is alive and well in Milwaukee.
Well, unfortunately, the day for Dame time, the clock wasn't working last night in the team's 35-point loss to Sacramento.
Wah, wah, wah.
So the Bucks go 1-3 on their West Coast road trip, and I knew that it was going to be a tall task because every single time we get a West Coast road trip, it gets very, very tough for the Bucks to win, especially there. And again, losing to the Warriors and the Kings, both of those two teams love to go up and down the court. They love to run and go out and move. They are quick, they're speedy, and they have very good shooters also. Both of them were hot from three-point range in that particular game. So the Bucks go 1-3, their lone win over the LA Clippers without Kawhi Leonard or Paul George on the floor. Here's my thing with this road trip. You cannot get blown out by 35 to Golden State and Sacramento. You just can't. Now, the Laker game, that's sort of, to me, a bit of an outlier because D'Angelo Russell had 44 points in that game. And it's very, very rare that we see D'Angelo Russell go for 44 now. He was earlier in his career, but not at this point in time. You can't get blown out by 30-plus points to two teams that are... Golden State right now is a play-in team, and Sacramento, they are a playoff team. They were the number 3 seed last year. They're now the number 6 seed this year, and the Western Conference has gotten a lot more tougher than I think it was the previous year. But you cannot get blown out like that. I can understand Sacramento to a certain degree because the Kings, they were in the postseason last year. They were the number 3 seed. I know they didn't win a series, but they pushed the Golden State Warriors, who were the defending champions at that time, to 7 games. And it took a 50-point performance from Steph Curry in order for Golden State to win that series. Now, the lone win was without Paul George and Kawhi Leonard with the Clippers. So I will give them that. And again, Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo became the first teammates in NBA history to have back-to-back 30-point 10-assist games. Great accomplishment. As a matter of fact, they'll get a round of applause for that. But at the same time, this team is still struggling. They're currently 42-23. They are fighting for the second spot in the East right now with Cleveland because Boston right now is going to be clear and away the top team in the Eastern Conference. They're going to get the number 1 seed and home court advantage all the way up to the finals. To me, there is a theme that's being established here, and it's both good and bad. Allow me to explain. The thing that I'm going to say that's not good is that they're too slow. They are just too slow. They can't get back on defense in transition. I don't know if it's the fact that Brooke Lopez, all of a sudden him turning 36, has him gotten slower. I don't know if the fact that you don't have a guy like Wes Matthews or a guy like Grayson Allen that can help you get back in transition is helping them. But there's something missing about the speed of this team. Not the effort. Because effort, to me, I think they're showing a lot more effort defensively ever since Doc Rivers took over. I think it's the speed. I think it's the fact that they're not quick enough. Now, that's not going to go well when you go up against Western Conference teams like the Lakers, like the Clippers, like the Kings, because most of the time, the Western teams, they go out and run outside of Minnesota because they're a team that's built on height. Oklahoma City really likes to run. The Clippers really like to run. The Lakers really like to run. The Warriors, the Nuggets even, with Nikola Jokic, even though he is slow, he really likes to run, as do the Dallas Mavericks. All the Western Conference teams like to go out and run. The one Eastern team that I have seen that can run up and down the court is Boston. And they also have guys that can make tough shots at Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. With Milwaukee, the thing with them being slow is that it is not going to help them get a very high seed. It's not going to help them get a number one seed in the Eastern Conference because Boston is just going to go ahead and claim it. I don't see any way that they're going to collapse. Those two teams, by the way, will meet a week from tonight. It's very, very problematic. So if they end up making the finals and they go up against a team that's very, very quick, that's going to be a very, very big problem. But that's a big if. Now, here is the positive with that, though. The silver lining in this. Every single time, in every single sport, the game slows down when you get to the postseason. To a certain degree. Again, in the NBA, it's a lot more up-tempo, especially in the finals. We saw that with Milwaukee getting a 50-point game from Giannis, with them beating the Suns in a game 123-119. I think that was in game 5 of the finals a few years ago. So if you want to say that there's still high-scoring games, yes, there is. There definitely is still high-scoring games. Each team will score 100 more often than not in a playoff game. Let's just be real about that. So if they end up being slow and they end up forcing the game to slow down and work to their pace, their particular pace, that will go very well for them in the postseason. Then you can make the argument that they will get past the second round because it's going to be very hard for them. Cleveland is no slouch if the seedings were to end the way that they are. Now, even though it is a silver lining that the game slows down and the Bucks will cater more to that once the postseason comes around, they're starting to lean towards, unfortunately, pretender phase. And they're leaning towards pretenders because they can't seem to get a great stretch going. Now, they won 6 straight going out of the All-Star break. I thought they turned a corner when they beat the Clippers at home without Chris Middleton and Giannis Antetokounmpo because that was the game Damian Lillard dropped 41. They don't need him to drop 41 every single game. If he drops 30 a game, like we know that he is capable of, then we can start making that conversation. Because now you're getting 60 points a game from your top two, guys, which is exactly what you want in the NBA today. 5 and 3 or better will make them contenders. They're going to have to win their next 4 games, and these are their next 4. No cakewalks, by the way. All of these teams, at least 3 of the 4, are probably going to be in the postseason. They've got 2 home games, which will help. They got Philadelphia coming up tomorrow. And the Sixers, to me, are not a good team without Joel Embiid. They still have Tyrese Maxey, but they are not. They're not a team that I think would go very far without Embiid. They've got Phoenix on Sunday. Phoenix beat them in Phoenix. The Suns don't play any defense. Then they go to Boston a week from tonight, which will be a very, very tall task to see who will take that season series, because I believe it's tied 1-1. And then they've got Brooklyn right after that on Thursday when they go back. So you end up looking at the rest of their schedule and the rest of the schedule for the month of March. And I feel like that this team, if they're a contending team, they should at least finish a few games over 500 if they're going to compete. And last night, Damian Lillard had an off night. The inconsistency is still there with him. Now, I don't know if it's the fact that he is in a new team. That if he's in a new city, I don't know if it's the fact that he's with a new team. I don't know if it's the new role that he is in. What I can tell you is that it is going to take a little longer for him to get used to Milwaukee than I think everybody realized. And it happens. We saw that with Luke Fickell and the Badger football team this past season. If it takes longer, it takes longer. The Bucks have, after this year, to me, 3 more years to get 1 more NBA title. If they get an NBA title from here to 2028, then I consider that trade a success. It was good for Damian Lillard to get out of Milwaukee. Now let's see if the Bucks can follow suit with that. Now 542 here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Good to have you along here on this Wednesday evening. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll chat with 97.3 The Game's Bill Schmidt as we talk Packers offseason. We'll welcome Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs to Lambeau. This is the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, and local sports. You are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Yes, we know it's early, but many days already, the sap is running. No worries, because Vigo Stewart Express is ready. Brian is featuring a nice selection of maple syrup supplies for your bottling needs. Glass containers, hydrometers, funnels, and other syruping supplies. Vigo Stewart Express, right along North 4th Street in Tomahawk, your maple syrup supply headquarters. Bringing comfort to your home is Helgi's of Tomahawk's top priority. With their line of furnaces and air conditioning systems, Carrier and Helgi's are dedicated to improving your quality of life by creating a comfortable, healthy living environment. Carrier makes one of the most efficient heating and cooling systems, rated by Energy Star. Millions of people trust Carrier's leadership and expertise in delivering premium solutions for their home heating and cooling needs. You can count on Carrier and Hilgi's to keep you comfortable. Carrier, turn to the experts at Hilgi's LP Gas, South Tomahawk Avenue. Call 453-3505 and online, hilgis.com.
Do you have uncoated concrete? When concrete is left unprotected, moisture can combine with organic particles in the concrete's pores, which can lead to the growth of mold, mildew, and bacteria, which also can lead to negative health outcomes. Wisconsin Coating Specialist offers coatings that seal off pores and prevents moisture from penetrating the surface to provide you with a durable, clean, and beautiful surface for the whole family to enjoy. Call Wisconsin Coating Specialist for your free estimate, 715-298-9533. Wisconsin Coating Specialist, tough and beautiful.
Billy Bob's Sports Bar in Grantland invites you to dine in or carry out all your favorite menu selections, including soup, salad, sandwiches, wraps, and Chicago-style pizza. Happy hours Monday through Thursday from 2 until 5. On Fridays, Billy Bob serves their fantastic fish fry all day, and Saturday it's prime rib with servings starting at 5 and while supplies last. Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill, County Highway L, north of Tomahawk, ready to serve you daily at 11 o'clock. It's Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill.
We all have hopes, dreams, and goals for ourselves and our family. This is Rich Teggy with Wealth Strategy Group. Financial goals are no different than any other goal. It all starts with a plan. We know the importance of a solid financial plan focused on what's most important to you. We listen and take the time to understand your vision and create a strategy to pursue your specific dreams and goals. We would appreciate the opportunity to discuss your goals, understand your financial situation, and create a plan tailored to reaching your desired retirement lifestyle. Wealth Strategy Group is here to provide the assistance you need. Call us today at 453-0722 or access us on the web at wsginvest.com or stop by our office on North 4th Street in Tomahawk. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Celebrate St. Patrick's Day this weekend at Outboards Bar and Grill on North 4th in Tomahawk. Outboards will offer St. Paddy's Day specials on Saturday and Sunday beginning at 11 a.m. Enjoy corned beef and cabbage platter, Guinness stew, or the corned beef sandwich with Swiss cheese plus desserts. Get on board and celebrate St. Patrick's Day this weekend at Outboards Bar and Grill.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this Wednesday evening. It is now 5:46, time for our interview segment here in the first hour. And joining me is the one and only from 97.3 The Game, Mr. Bill Schmidt. Welcome, my friend.
Alex, how we doing, man? Thanks for having me on, as always.
Absolutely, Bill. Well, hard to believe it. It was a busy day for the Packers of free agency. So what do you say we get right into the offseason, shall we?
Absolutely.
All right, here we go.
We'll be right back. First and 10 football at the 38 of Dallas. Play action and bootleg left, half bootleg.
Got
now
him.
Throw back
got
the other
him.
Way. He's got him wide open. Down the right side. Musgrave. End zone. Touchdown. Touchdown. Luke Musgrave. And a dagger. A dagger right through the heart of the Cowboys.
Bill, I still got to tell you, that call still gives me chills to this day.
Yeah, you're not the only one. It really does. That was a great, great, great day, great moment.
Yes.
And, I mean, Wayne Larrabee, the absolute best, always hits it out of the park.
Yeah, I got the chance to meet him, obviously, a few times this past year. He's a great guy. So, Bill, a couple of big signings for Green Bay this offseason. Let's go through the first one first, which I think surprised a lot of Packer fans, including myself. Josh Jacobs coming from the Raiders to the Packers on a four-year, $48 million deal, and Green Bay subsequently releasing fan favorite Aaron Jones. Let's talk about the signing of Jacobs first, Bill. What do you make of this move?
Well, what I make of it is that it validates the reports earlier on in the season that the Packers had reportedly made an offer and had been somewhat aggressive in trying to pursue a trade for Jonathan Taylor from the Colts before he ended his holdout or, you know, trip on the non-football injury list that mm-hmm. started as a holdout, whatever that ended up being, that they had reportedly been interested in that. They also had sniffed around the potential of adding a running back at the trade deadline, which had been reported. So it validated those reports. I think that Brian Gutekunst has wanted and finally did, in his mind, upgrade at the running back spot. Jacobs is a wonderful talent, 26 years old, just turned it. Mm-hmm. And the part about Jacobs is that, you know, maybe fans haven't watched as much of him, even though, you know, you see him on red zone a little bit because he gets into the end zone and had a remarkable year where he led the league in rushing and had over 2,000 all-purpose yards.
Yes.
Back in 22. But he is a physical runner that nobody wants to tackle mm-hmm. while being a threat out of the backfield. That's a little bit of a unique blend to have. And it also, leading into the release of Aaron Jones, not necessarily that it's always one guy or against the other when you're talking about talent evaluation, but what Jacobs is bringing to the table, hopefully, is a guy that, you know, is the dynamic back in a different way that Jones was, because the offense clearly, under Matt LaFleur, is different with that elite type of running game.
Yeah, again, Bill, you mentioned Josh Jacobs' brilliant 2022 season where he not only had over 2,000 all-purpose yards, he led the league in rushing. He had over 1,600 mm-hmm. yards for the Raiders in that season. Again, last year, you know, there was a contract holdout. He missed a little bit of time due to injury, got off to a slow start during the season, but he essentially got the same contract that Aaron Jones got 3 years ago, which is still mind-boggling to me. So, as you mentioned, he's a big physical back. Where do you think he fits into this offense?
Well, he fits in as one of the, you know, maybe three or four, and I use that number kind of gracefully, bell cow running backs in the NFL, right? There's Christian McCaffrey who stays on the field three downs.
Yes.
Generally, Saquon Barkley will, when healthy. Mm-hmm. Josh Jacobs is the same way. He's going to be one of the centerpieces of it. And the funny part about it is, Alex, he comes in, and I believe right now he's the oldest skill position player. Maybe that changes in free agency before we get to the draft and they add, you know, a veteran in the tight end room or maybe a fullback, which I could see them trying to do to lean in on what Jacobs will be able to provide them. He's really good in the zone scheme. He's a one-cut back. That's what you want in Matt LaFleur's style of offense. And here's the other part that Jacobs is going to allow them to do and why the offense could be remarkably explosive again this year is he can be a threat. As I mentioned, you know, he had 50 catches in that year that you meant that in 22 when he leads the league in rushing that attributes to the all-purpose yards. He's done that twice. He's a threat out of the backfield as well. He doesn't have to come off the field. It alleviates their need to go and draft, you know, maybe two, and allows them to focus on the defensive side where they obviously have to bring some more talent in.
Well, let's go ahead and shift over here, talking with Bill Schmidt from 97.3 The Game here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Bill, let's go to the defensive side because Green Bay made another big splash, bringing in former Giants safety Xavier McKinney on another four-year deal. What does this do for Green Bay's defense now under new defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley, do you think?
it gives them a back-end protector that they needed desperately. Halfley is going to run a lot of different stuff than what the Packers have run in the past, and one of them is that he's going to play with one safety primarily over the top. That guy's going to have a true center fielder-like view of the field, right? He's going to have to be able to be a playmaker, chase down from sideline to sideline, mm-hmm. and that's what McKinney showed last year being able to do. Guy walks in with 9 career picks. Last year, didn't miss a snap, was one of 2 players in the NFL on the defensive side of the football to do that. Picked a good year to do it, right?
Yeah.
Contract year. But also, and more of those numbers came out here today, where the Packers won't want to, but in case something were to go, you know, horrendously wrong, the Packers have front-loaded this contract as well, taking advantage of the freedom that they have salary cap-wise in 2024, but really not pushing money into the future. His contract is, like Jacob Steele, very much 1 year and then seemingly 3 kind of Packer options to move money around. Very creative, Russ Ball has been, and I think they knocked this one out of the park from a contractual-wise. Player-wise, it was a home run. He was a top, you know, consensus 15 free agent that hit the market. Everybody that needed a safety, and a lot of those in the NFC, wanted him, and the Packers were aggressive enough to go get him the money right up front and pair him with Jeff Halfley, who needs somebody like him in the back end.
And again, you point out McKinney, he was the top free safety on the market too. We haven't really had a top defensive position player really come to Green Bay since last I could think of was Charles Woodson back in 06. You can make the argument also for Julius Peppers back in 2014, yeah. But this screams Charles Woodson-like to me, Bill.
Yeah, and I think both of them are just a little bit different from the standpoint of, you know, the Packers didn't go into that offseason, I think, planning on getting Charles Woodson, right?
That's fair,
and Woodson
yes.
Woodson kind of bounced around. Peppers, maybe they did, but that blindsided everybody when you woke up on that Sunday morning and Julius Peppers announced it himself. This is very different from the type of player. But, you know, it's kind of like what Brian Gutekunst did 5 years ago where Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith were two of the more premier pass rushers
yes.
on the market. Everybody wanted pass rusher. They
yes.
went out and grabbed both of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Went out and got his guys early. And now they'll sit back and see if when the price goes down in free agency, if there's some more value they can pick up.
Yeah, and again, you talk here with Bill Schmidt from 97.3 The Game. This is a big upgrade here. Let's go ahead and talk a little bit more of the departures here. Obviously, it was announced earlier today that that the Packers officially released Devondre Campbell. They also released David Bakhtiari and Aaron Jones. Are you surprised by any of these players getting released this year?
Well, I'd be lying and I'd be, rather... wrong. It's just what I said on the radio prior to about the Aaron Jones situation. I did believe that he was going to be back, right? I didn't
yeah.
think your franchise quarterback was going to say he's the heart and soul of our football team, and then, you know, 3 weeks later he's going to be released. That being said, I didn't anticipate they were going to go sign Josh Jacobs, right?
There you go.
Situations change, and once that happened, I think most were dialed in on NFL Network, and when Ian Rappaport said, yeah, both are back, kind of dismissively, got fired up and excited to think creatively how they're going to use it.
Yes.
With being blind to the idea that most likely it meant you were going to be now without Aaron Jones going forward. Still, I think it's, on paper, an upgrade. And will it impact the locker room enough to offset, I think, the talent and production and also value in the age and contract that you get? I don't believe so. I think that would be tough to say. I think Josh Jacobs is a hell of a dude as well and a heck of a competitor, and guys are going to love playing with him. The Devondre Campbell one, that felt as good as over a couple of different times during the season.
Mm-hmm.
However, it leaves them quite short-handed at the inside linebacker spot where
yes.
the changes they're going to make defensively, they're going to go from a 3-4 base to a 4-3. You're going to already need more inside linebackers, off-ball linebackers. You lose and give away one of yours that you're paying the most money to. Going to have to add at that position. And the David Bakhtiari situation, I'm a biggest fan of David Bakhtiari as there is. You know, we had him on our radio show earlier on today, and he got to say goodbye to the fans. But he, as much as everybody understood that that was going to happen just contractually. There was no way they were going to be able to take that lottery ticket of him being able to stay healthy for 17 games. All resigned to that fact, even though it stinks that it's a, you know, product of the business.
Yeah, exactly. The one thing that we've learned about Brian Gutekunst is that he is a lot of things. Sentimental is not one of them by any stretch of the imagination.
Amen. No doubt about it.
Absolutely. So, again, talking with Bill Schmidt from 97.3 The Game here on the Sports Q on WJJQ. Bill, they've upgraded, at least on paper, the Packers have, at both running back and safety, and they still have a lot of cap space before the season ends. They re-signed Keyshawn Nixon also yesterday. Do you think another move is in the works?
I do. I think that they're going to add still a little bit on the defensive side, right? Like, I know that in the draft, I think they have 11 full total picks. They have five inside of the first 100.
Yep.
I suspect about three of those will be on the defensive side, if not more. But I would look for them to wait through probably the weekend, right? Let the first real wave of free agency end, the money start to come down, and then pick around at some of the linebackers that are around there. They're going to need some depth pieces. They might not be splash names, but there are still guys that have played a lot of football in the middle that are available, and there's other guys that are around the ball that are also available. There's a couple of cornerbacks that are still available. I know they've been interested in C.J. Henderson, the former first-round pick, who's bounced around and, let's be honest, hasn't produced what the ninth overall pick you would have thought. I know that they're interested in him, so
mm-hmm.
I see them adding still, but I think their big spending is done. Now we'll see how creative they are and how much they take advantage of the fact that they're no longer really cap-strung by Aaron Rodgers and other contracts that they extended into the future when they were chasing a championship.
All right, again, Bill, final question I have here for you. You mentioned very briefly the NFL draft. The Packers have the number 25 pick in the first round. Now, post-free agency frenzy, again, we could see another signing or two from them, like you said. Where do you see Green Bay going with this first-round pick?
I could see it all over the board, to be honest with you, Alex, right? Like, I could see them. This draft class is littered with really, really talented offensive tackles. I could see them trying to go after and grab one of those guys if, you know, J.C. Latham falls. Wisconsin kid, by the way, ended up going to play some of his high school ball in Florida, played at Alabama. There's just a bunch of really good offensive linemen there. Cooper DeJean is one that everybody keeps seeing.
Yep.
The corner safety who would be a fascinating pairing with Xavier McKinney in Halfley's defense. They like to mix and match who's over the top, who's playing up in the box. Both have done both. Like, that could be a really, really good pair. I think he's going to be gone by the time they get up to 25.
Yeah, it seems to be trending that way. It seems to be trending that way.
I don't know, Alex, where they're going to go. I don't know where they're going to focus on. There's a couple of things I do know when Brian Gutekunst is in charge of a Packers draft. One, they're going to be aggressive to try to make a trade, right? He likes to go up. He likes to go up. And he will go down. He always says that he has a lot of Ted Thompson in him. That one's not as much. Ted Thompson likes to go down a lot. Goody likes to go up more than anything. If he feels like it's the right player, he goes and tries to get him, and he's been somewhat successful with it. If you think of like Jair Alexander after trading down, striking and going grabbing another one there.
Yes.
I think they get aggressive with the amount of picks they have. But I do think they focus on the defense. And the other part of a Goody draft is they're going to focus on the premier positions. And there's about five or six of them in the NFL. Their offensive tackle, most importantly, left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterback, they're set there. Don't have to worry about it. Wide receiver right now has overtaken running back in that realm.
Yes.
And then it's pass rusher and corner. They went pass rusher first round last year. If a corner or a pass rusher is the pick at 25, I'd be far, far from stunned. I would lean that way if a Chop Robinson is around in that spot. You know, Nate Wiggins is an interesting name.
Yes.
McKinstry from Alabama. There's a lot of those kind of players, and I think they'll focus on one of those premier spots.
Again, Bill Schmidt from 97.3 The Game talking Packers offseason. Again, a very big first day for Green Bay and free agency, bringing in Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney. Going to be very interesting to see how the rest of the offseason goes. Bill, thank you very much for joining me. I much appreciate it. Have fun in the offseason, man.
Appreciate it, Alex, and whenever there's more news, man, I always appreciate you having me on the Sports Q.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Bill. You have a great day.
Take it easy.
All right, you too, man. Bill Schmidt from 97.3 The Game here on the Sports Q on Northwood's 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk. Coming up on the other side of CBS News in our weather forecast, we'll have Hatchet Track and Field Coach Kurt Cordova in. He's going to talk about the upcoming track and field season, including the first event coming up on Tuesday. That's coming up on the Sports Q at 5:30 here on Northwood's 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk. It's 61 at our WJJQ studios.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods. You're listening to the Sports Q with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Monica Ricks. A vote on Capitol Hill today puts TikTok's future in jeopardy in the U.S. The House wants it banned, but CBS's Skylar Henry tells us content creators are fighting to save it.
Ahead of the vote, the company mobilized TikTok influencers and others to fight the bill.
So many people, not only 5 million small businesses rely on it, but 170 million people rely on this app for more than just their livelihood. They rely on this app for their mental health.
One key hurdle could be former President Trump, who once threatened to ban TikTok but opposes this bill, saying it would shift too much influence to Facebook. President Biden has said he would sign the legislation if it reaches his desk. Skyler Henry, CBS News, Washington.
Hello, Milwaukee.
President Biden back on the stump today in Wisconsin, where he championed new investments nationwide.
I'm here to announce the first of its kind investment, $3.3 billion in 132 projects in 42 states, going to help right historic wrongs.
The projects focus on clean energy in disadvantaged communities. A partial dismissal in Georgia today, where a judge dropped some charges against former President Trump in his 2020 election interference case. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
The Georgia criminal case includes 19 defendants engaged in racketeering with multiple counts and multiple legal theories. All that has happened today is a reduction of six of those counts.
Trump still faces dozens of charges there. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says Haiti needs stability and security to recover from its gang crisis. CBS's Allison Keyes.
Blinken says a transitional presidential council is being put together.
To choose a new prime minister, an interim prime minister, to establish a national security council, and to put in place an electoral commission.
Blinken says none of this is easy and it won't happen from one day to the next.
Tuesdays with Maury author Mitch Albom runs an orphanage in Haiti. He was among a group of Americans airlifted out yesterday. Ahead of allergy season, new research links another dangerous amoeba to neti pot nasal rinsing. CBS's Alexander King.
The amoeba likely made its way into the body through contaminated tap water, the study concluded. Of the 10 patients with invasive infections, all were immunocompromised. Seven of them survived.
Paul Alexander, who lived with an iron lung for 70 years, has died. Last month, his rep made this announcement.
Last week, he was unfortunately rushed to the emergency room in the hospital. He tested positive for COVID, which is really, really dangerous, obviously, for someone with his condition.
Alexander was paralyzed from the neck down after contracting polio as a kid. He was 78. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's easy to think all money managers are pretty much the same. But at Fisher Investments, we're clearly different.
Different how? You sell high commission investment products, right?
No. Fisher Investments doesn't sell any commission-based investment products.
Well, you must earn commissions on trades.
Nope. Never at Fisher. We're a fiduciary, obligated to act in our client's best interest. It's the highest standard of care for a financial advisor.
How do you know what's in their best interest?
We get to know our clients and then tailor a portfolio based on their goals and needs.
But you probably sneak in some hidden and layered fees.
No. We have one transparent management fee, structured so we do better when our clients do better.
Wow, you really do look out for your clients.
That's because our top priority is helping them achieve a comfortable retirement. It might be why most of our clients come from other money managers. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you switch to us. Fisher Investments, clearly different money management.
Investments and securities involve the risk of loss.
A pop popular online word games going after its knockoffs.
The New York Times is sending takedown notices to games that mimic Wordle, the online word game it purchased in 2022.
We're not here to judge how you play Wordle.
Coming up with Wordle hacks is one thing. The Times alleges the numerous games inspired by Wordle amount to copyright infringement. This includes action against one user on the software developer platform GitHub, who created a Wordle clone project that provides instructions on how to create a knockoff version of Wordle. Since word of all this broke, some games have vanished from the internet. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
Atlanta is making a third bid now to land an NHL team. The city was previously home to the Flames and Thrashers, both of which moved to Canada over ownership issues and low attendance. Leaders just put a formal request in to the league to begin the process of starting another hockey team. Salt Lake City's put in a similar bid. Monica Ricks, CBS News.
WJJQ Radio Sports Time, 6:08 p.m. Good Wednesday evening. I'm Alex Cook. You're tuned into the Sports Queue here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. 61 degrees here in the Northwoods under partly cloudy skies on this very mild mid-March day. We're going to chat with Hatchet track and field coach Kurt Cordova after our weather forecast from Brittany Merlot.
The forecast for the Northwoods: becoming cloudy tonight as low temperatures fall to the low 30s. We'll be sitting under mostly cloudy skies tomorrow too, and much cooler. Winds will be pulling out of the northeast as a low pressure system sweeps into Illinois, bringing heavy rain to the southern part of the state, and here for us, a chance of some light showers. Behind this system, our highs for Friday and Saturday are in the 40s. And as a quick clipper system hits us on Saturday and Sunday, this could drag in some snow showers too, which, yes, could accumulate. For WJJQ, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The Sports Q on WJJQ, your source for sports from around the state and in the Northwoods. Here's your host, Alex Cook.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Great to have you along here on this Wednesday evening. It's now 6:09 and time for our Hatchet interview of the day. And joining me here for the first time on the Sports Q is Hatchet track and field coach Kurt Cordova. Kurt, welcome, my friend.
Hey, Alex. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and get right into this here, my friend. This is the second time we've had the opportunity to talk. You've had a few practices now under your belt. Let me ask, how does the team look so far?
The team's looking good. We have a lot of freshmen, a lot of new faces in the mix this year. So they've all been learning a little bit in the first week and the second week, and the veterans are stepping up a little bit and getting them in line and doing a lot of learning. They're looking good so far, so we're going to see how next week goes with our meet in Ashland and go from there, I guess.
Again, we'll get into the meet here in just a minute. Obviously, looking at these two teams here, Kurt, you struggled quite a bit last year, finishing towards the bottom of the conference. What does this team need to do to take a big step forward?
Looking back from last year, our girls' side of the things, we did really good when it evolved around the running phase of the track essentials, but their field events were missing. So this year we're putting a little bit more emphasis on field events for two nights a week, that they're going to focus on that a little bit. The boys' side was kind of opposite of that. We struggled with a little bit of the running portion. We had some good points at distance, good points in sprinters, but the whole mix wasn't there, where the field events, they kind of rounded off and scored a lot of their points in that. So we're kind of mixing up a little bit this year, focusing a few days a week on different sections so we can be a little bit more well-rounded.
Again, talking here with Hatchet track and field coach Kurt Cordova here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Kurt, looking at this team, your team obviously is looking to have a few state qualifiers, as we talked about off the air. What do you think is going to be your team's biggest strength, though, overall?
Biggest strength right now, it's going to be a little difficult to tell right now, but I know with the seniors we have 15 seniors this year. Every one of them has stepped up and been a leader, so pushing not only our freshmen but our newer people on the team to put forth that effort right now in practice. They're getting them working harder, they're stepping it up. Their leadership that way this year is huge. We're noticing a difference already at practice. We had a really good night tonight. Everybody worked hard. They were putting forth that effort to probably a little bit more than what they normally would. I think that's going to be a key this year when we get a little bit further in the season. That's going to be a huge strength for us.
You know, you look at this particular conference here, Kurt, the Great Northern Conference. You've got some tough competition, obviously, as you already alluded to. But who do you think is going to be your toughest competition? You could go boys and girls or just overall.
Well, girls' side of things, Mosinee always stacks a really good team. They always have girls that are going to sectionals, state. I mean, they have a good face overall with that. They did really well. I mean, they took first overall last year for the girls' side of things. Pines and Medford, also well-rounded. They are usually top three just about the last two, 3 years. Boys' side of things, Lakeland won it last year. They're still strong. I believe they had a young team last year. Medford was also in that mix again. They're two tough teams. Every year that we face them, they usually end up pulling through good freshmen up, and whatever seniors they lose, they make it up year after year.
You know, obviously, here talking here with Coach Kurt Cordova here on the Sports Q on WJJQ. Kurt, hard to believe that the season is already coming up here. Your first meet is in less than a week, and you go up to Ashland for a big indoor meet. Tell me, what will you be looking for in this meet from this particular team?
I guess what we're looking for right now when we're setting this up, it's a limited entry meet, so a lot of varsity going, putting forth the effort. We want to see them taking a step forward and not losing anything that we built up from last year. Relays and stuff, having that consistency on the handoffs, your field events, we want to see them throwing what they ended last year with so we could start the season and build off of that. Just the consistency of having a little bit older of a team this year, I think will help us in the long run on this, but I think they're going to do really well up there. They're going to be competitive, but we'll, again, at first meet, you're kind of going in a little bit dark, but
again, just looking for what your team is good at.
Exactly.
Again, Kurt, do you have any final thoughts before we wrap up here?
Nope. I'm looking forward to the season. We have a lot of really good athletes. They're very dedicated this year, so I'm excited to see where it takes them.
Absolutely. Again, the track and field season begins Tuesday. Both of the varsity squads, boys and girls, go to Ashland on Tuesday. First invite begins at 4 o'clock Tuesday afternoon. Kurt Cordova, Hatchet Track and Field Coach, looking forward to covering this team this year, my friend. Thank you very much for stopping in.
Thanks, Alex.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we'll head back to the hardwood and talk what the Badgers need to do to make a deep run in the Big Ten tournament. That's next on the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Take advantage of spring savings on our last remaining 2023s at Brickner Motors on Little Chicago's northeast side. New 2023 Chrysler Pacifica Limited all-wheel drive. Buy it today for $46,616 with $5,000 in rebates. Also, during the Jeep Celebration event, new 2023 Jeep Compass Latitude Lux 4x4 with 10% off is yours for only $38,501, down from $43,760. Experience the excitement of the last new 2023 Jeep Gladiator Willys package, now available for $45,853, originally priced at $55,470. It's Ram Truck Month at Brickner Motors. Get the last new 2023 Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Eco Diesel 4x4, 20% off for $49,961. That's a savings of $17,679. Brickner Motors on Little Chicago's northeast side. Only minutes from Wausau, Merrill, and Medford.
This is Stephanie Ahrens, Doctor of Physical Therapy at Health and Motion in Tomahawk. Health and Motion is a therapist-owned outpatient clinic with 8 locations in northern Wisconsin. Our skilled providers treat a wide variety of musculoskeletal conditions, post-surgical cases, vertigo, jaw pain, and many more. Here at Health and Motion, we value our one-on-one time with patients using treatments backed by research and cutting-edge technology to get our patients better faster and with greater satisfaction. Give us a call to schedule an evaluation or a complimentary 15-minute screen with one of our therapists. Majority of the time, we can get you scheduled within 48 hours. Simply call 453-6650 or look at our website, himwi.com. So come on!
You already know Tomahawk Furniture and Gun offers you low prices every day. But did you know that if you find a better price, they will match it? They also have a great selection of clearance items just waiting for you to take home. Stop in at 109 West Wisconsin Avenue in downtown Tomahawk or at their showroom just four doors down at 123 West Wisconsin Avenue, where you will find closeouts and hot buys on everything from rustic furniture to mattresses. Find the best deals in the showroom with inventory constantly changing. Grab these deals while they last. It's Tomahawk Furniture and Gun in downtown Tomahawk. Prices so low, you gotta bend over to see them.
John J. Shuni Construction is a family-owned company serving the area with trucking, excavating, and Wausau Homes. Their Wausau Homes Design Studio is at 1708 North 4th Street in Tomahawk, and they're ready to help make every home buyer's experience an enjoyable one from start to finish. Call 453-2015 for excavating, trucking, and Wausau Homes from John J. Shuni Construction of Tomahawk.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Hope you're having a great Wednesday so far. I'm a little bit out of breath after talking with Kirk Cordova. Thank you very much to him and also Bill Schmidt for joining me on the interviews here today on the Sports Q on WJJQ, currently 6:18. Before we get into Badger, to the Badger hardwood, again, I'll just go ahead and quickly gloss over this because I know that there will be a couple of people that want to ask me what my thoughts are on this. Aaron Rodgers on the short list of being the vice presidential candidate for Robert Kennedy Jr., who's going to run as an independent, obviously. The only thing I'm going to say about this is I do not expect Aaron Rodgers to be the savior of this nation.
Here I come to save the day.
That means that Mighty Mouse is on the way.
The other thing I'm going to say is that he can't be both on the football field and in the presidential office at the same time. If he wanted to retire and do that, no problem. But I don't think he can do both. So if you wanted my two cents there, now let's go ahead and hit the hardwood, shall we? Well, the operative word to describe the Badger men's basketball season has been an absolute roller coaster. It's been up and down, mainly down, obviously, since February hit. But the Badgers are still able to finish with a top five seed in the Big Ten tournament, which essentially means that they are going to be number five. They did get a first bye, and they are going to be taking on either Rutgers or Maryland in the quarterfinals, which at this point it looks like that Maryland is currently up on Rutgers by 14 at the half. So they'll be playing one of those two teams coming up tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. We'll provide updates for you throughout the day here on WJJQ. Maryland, the number 12 seed. Rutgers is the number 13 seed. And now the one thing I'm going to say with this Badger team is this. It sounds like that they're going to make the tournament. Let's just get that out of the way. They are going to make the NCAA tournament. They're going to go back to the big dance, which, you know what? That's kind of what I thought they would do. That is exactly what I thought that they would do. The thing is, though, and this is the thing you have to look out for with Wisconsin, they're not a good defensive team. Let's just be real about it. They're not a good defensive team. No matter whatever way you slice it, they're not. Them getting a single bye is their own fault. Because the Big Ten wasn't as strong as it has been in the last few years, but it's been very, very clumped together. There are only two front runners that you can make a legitimate argument, in my opinion, that would win the tournament. That those are Purdue and Illinois. Nebraska, Northwestern, and Wisconsin have been all grouped into this mush, if you will, that is the 3, 4, and 5 spots. The fact that Northwestern and Nebraska got double byes shows me how crazy this Big Ten has been. Because the usual suspects, Michigan, Michigan State, Maryland, they're all towards the bottom. They're not the same type of programs that they once were when they were in their heyday. Juwan Howard seems like he's going to flame out of Michigan. I wouldn't be surprised if he was let go. Michigan State, Tom Izzo's had a down year. I expect him to be back. And again, you got Iowa with Fran McCaffrey as well. Big Ten is always stacked. The Badgers are 2-1, though, against the two opponents that they faced, with both wins at home. They beat Maryland, and they beat Rutgers at home. They beat Rutgers on Senior Day. They lost to them by 25 on the road, which is incredibly concerning. Again, the top four seeds are Purdue, Illinois, Nebraska, and Northwestern, in that order. All four of those teams will end up playing in the big dance. Let's just be real, okay? Nebraska, Northwestern, Purdue, and Illinois will all be playing in the NCAA tournament. Wisconsin will probably be in the NCAA tournament. I believe Bracketology has them as a number 6 seed. Maybe a number 5, depending on how deep of a run they make in the tourney this year. In order for them to get to number 5 or maybe even a number 4 seed, they're going to have to go to the Big Ten championship game. So that's going to include either beating Maryland or Rutgers, and that's also going to have to involve beating them Purdue, which they were within single digits against them a couple times. Just keep that in mind. But it is so weird to me, so weird, that we see teams like Northwestern and Nebraska at the top. Now, Nebraska, I knew that they were going to be in good hands because Fred Hoiberg is a very good college basketball coach. He was the one that helped rebuild Iowa State into prominence. And now he's starting to rebuild Nebraska. That team finished in the top side of the Big Ten. They are the number 3 seed behind Purdue and Illinois. They're the third. They have the third best record in the Big Ten. Nebraska, who's primarily known as a football school. It's weird to me. Now, Northwestern has been a pretty good program as of late. They had an NCAA tournament appearance a few years ago when they knocked off Vanderbilt. But they're still struggling mightily. They still have been struggling mightily throughout the course of the year. And it's just because they're not known for being a basketball program. They're, again, more known for being a football program. Now, Purdue is the favorite to win it because they have been in the top 5 consistently in the Big Ten throughout the course of this season. And they've also been top 5 in the country. Zach Edey, being a National Player of the Year, might end up winning it again this year. That doesn't mean they'll win it, though. And with Purdue, the Big Ten tournament, that's not what I'm looking for from them. What I'm looking for from Purdue is to see how far they would go in the big dance. Because they got upset by 16-seeded Farleigh Dickinson in the first round last year as a number 1 seed. Only the second number 16 seed to beat a number 1 seed in March Madness history. The first one, obviously, being UMBC over Virginia. Regular season recap for Wisconsin this year. They finished 19-12 on the season, 11-9 in the Big Ten after losing to Purdue on Sunday. The Badgers are projected to be about a 5-6 seed in the big dance, which I think is about right. And this, to me, is the biggest coaching test for Mr. Greg Gard. Let me explain. If Greg Gard does not get this team past the first weekend of the tournament, he should be fired. He should be fired. Here's the reason why I say that. Wisconsin basketball, yes, is Greg Gard a good coach? Yes, he is. I don't think he's right to coach Wisconsin, though. To me, he should go to a team that needs to be rebuilt, a team that needs to build up a program. The Badgers were already built when he got there. He was the lead assistant under Bo Ryan for a number of years up until Bo Ryan retired midway through the 2015 season. Greg Gard, to me, is not the right coach for Wisconsin basketball. And I don't know if it's his recruiting. I don't know if it's his scheming. I just know that I don't think he's the right move. And I would not be surprised if Chris McIntosh moved on from him because he moved on from Paul Chryst a couple of years ago and ended up bringing in Luke Fickell. Coach Gard has to get this team past the first weekend of the big dance. Now, if he does that, his job is safe. If he doesn't, he should be let go. It's going to come down to that. And I did check, by the way, I believe it was the Fox Sports Bracketology that was put out there. Wisconsin currently has a number 6 seed. They would be playing against a number 11 seed, obviously, who in this case would be St. John's. St. John's is coached by Rick Pitino. Pitino is one of the best and most historic coaches in college basketball history. He's had controversy. Follow him pretty much everywhere he goes. But he helped make Iona, an NCAA tournament team. He led Louisville to a national title. He flamed out in the NBA, but most college coaches do that. And now he's trying to build St. John's back up to the perennial powerhouse that they have. So with Wisconsin projected to be in a 5 or 6 seed, the 12 and the 5 and the 6 and the 11 are the two most common seeds for an upset in the last 25 years in the Big Ten tournament. That's just a fact. This is how close the Big Ten was this year in terms of conference records. Because you had Purdue and Illinois at the top, which is obvious. Nebraska, 12-8. Northwestern, 12-8. Wisconsin, 11-9. And right after them, Iowa, 10-10. Michigan State, 10-10. And Indiana, 10-10. That's where the Big Ten is right now. It has been top heavy. So it's essentially a fight for third place and a fight to see who will be a number four or number five seed in the tournament. So do I believe Wisconsin can let's say beat Maryland. Do I think Wisconsin will beat Maryland or Rutgers? Yeah, I think they will. Do I think they'll beat Purdue? No. Badgers are not good defensively on the guards, at the guard spot. At the post, they're better. Stephen Crowell has not had a bad year. But they do not have the defense that they have now. If you want to say that this is a young team and there's only one senior graduating in Tyler Wall, that's fine. You can make that case. But I'm saying that I don't know if Greg Gard can save his job unless he makes it past the first weekend of the tournament. As a matter of fact, if he loses the first NCAA tournament game, Chris McIntosh should fire him on the spot. In my honest opinion. Doesn't matter who they play. It does not matter who they play. If they end up losing in the first game that they play in the NCAA tournament, oh my goodness, Wisconsin will riot. Madison will riot. And Chris McIntosh is somebody that has proven to be very, very aggressive with his hirings and his firings. That's what we know about him. Because he went out, he let go of Paul Christ, who won the second most games in Badger history, third most actually, behind Brett Bielema and Barry Alvarez. He fired him and brought in Luke Fickell to help rebuild that program and make them a national contender. It'll probably take another year, but it's going to happen. With Greg Gard. Now, I don't know who you could get from the coaching ranks to replace him. I would have to take a look. It would have to be after the tournament is done. But Greg Gard's seat is about as hotter as it has ever been at this point in time. Next week for March Madness, we'll also be going over the brackets because Selection Sunday is this Sunday, St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day, by the way. Go ahead and have a Guinness on me, if you will. And I will go ahead and make an upset. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to go ahead and extend this out to all of the Sports Q listeners that are out there. If you like to do brackets, go ahead, fill out your bracket once Selection Sunday is here. Once Selection Sunday is here, fill out your bracket and email it to me, alex@wjjq.com, or you can send it in via mail to our address at 81 East Mohawk Drive in Tomahawk. And you tell me who you think is going to be in the Final Four. Go ahead, fill them out. Send them in to me. I'll be more than glad to go over them, and I'll pick my three most likely Final Four options. And I'll fill out my own bracket. I fill out one every single year. And we'll see who ends up making the big dance and who ends up going all the way to the Final Four. Because March, to me, is my favorite month of the year. Not only is the fact that it's my birthday, March 28th, just so you know, NFL free agency, MLB opening day is coming up on March 28th, my birthday. The Bucks are currently in the midst of a postseason push. The NBA postseason is here. And you've also got March Madness here. There cannot be a better month in sports than March. I want all the madness. Give me all the madness. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Tomahawk, it's currently 6:32. I'll be back to wrap things up after this.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. Youth, high school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
With warmer weather continuing, now is the time to think about your air conditioning systems because hot weather is right around the corner. Call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700. Premier offers the Dave Lennox signature collection of air conditioners and furnaces designed from the inside out to look good and work better than ever. Lennox is proud to be an official Energy Star partner and offer Lennox home comfort systems that save you energy and money. Call Premier today. Josh will give you all the information about Dave Lennox signature collection with a furnace just right for your heating and cooling needs and be ready for a hot summer. Lennox innovation never felt so good. Premier Heating and Cooling at the intersection of Muskellunge Lake Road and County A. Call 453-4700 and online at premierheatingcooling.com and at the WJJQ Home Show April 13th and 14th at the Tomahawk School Complex.
We're proud of our history as a century-old Wisconsin institution. Hi, I'm Sue from Crossbridge Community Bank. We stay true to the simple, community-based ideals of a mutual bank that exists to serve its people. That is true for our business customers as well. We want to provide you with everything your business needs to grow and flourish. Stop in to either our Merrill or Tomahawk locations and see what makes Crossbridge Community Bank different from the others. Maybe it's time to make the switch. A bank that puts purpose first. What's your purpose? Let us help you realize it. Visit crossbridge.bank to find out more.
Here's a look at your Northwoods 92.5 forecast. Cloudy skies expected tonight with lows around 32. Northeast winds around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 50. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki, and that's your forecast on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Currently, it's 59 degrees.
And Shadow Country Club offers two state-of-the-art delve simulators to keep you swinging your clubs during these winter months. Call 453-3130 to schedule your tee time on one of the sims. Go online to find the simulator hours and make sure you follow Inshallah on Facebook for monthly simulator hours. Inshallah Country Club, 453-3130 and online at InshallahCC.com. It's the Inshallah Country Club. Wild Rivers Group Real Estate of Tomahawk serves the entire Northwoods area. Wild Rivers Group is in need of listings. Vacant lands, city homes, country homes, and waterfront homes, now is the time to sell. Call John Long at 966-2251 to get details on what your property is worth in today's hot market, and he'll help you find a buyer. Wild Rivers Group Real Estate, 1414 North 4th Street in Tomahawk, online at wildriversgroup.com. Call John Long at 966-2251.
Come in and find out why generations of families in the Northwoods have been doing business at the Auto House in Tomahawk for nearly 40 years. Gary is the longest operating auto dealer in the area. He provides selection, selection, selection. He's got about 40 quality late model used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot right now. The Auto House is a complete dealership where they service what they sell in their service department with an ASE certified technician. And if you need a rental vehicle, the Auto House has rental units available. And if you don't see exactly what you want on Gary's lot, just talk to him and he'll find what you're looking for, and that's what you call doing business the right way. The Auto House, North 4th Street in Tomahawk, online at autohousecars.net. That's AUTOHAUS cars.net.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Good to have you along here on this Wednesday evening as we get into our final countdown. Again, coming up later on, you also heard it, the Tomahawk Track and Field Squad begins their season with an indoor meet in Ashland Tuesday at 4:15. Other spring sports openers coming up, Tomahawk Softball will begin their season next Thursday, March 21st, with a triangular at Rhinelander. First game against Wausau East at 10. In the Hodag Dome, their second game will be against Leona Wabino. Baseball will open their season April 1st. It will travel down to Marathon, and the golf team opens their season April 9th with a home triangular with Prentice and Three Lakes at Inshallah Country Club. Also, just a quick reminder, our first broadcast, all regular season baseball and softball broadcasts, will be on our sister station, Sports Talk 810 AM, 100.7 FM, WJJQ. First softball broadcast will be on April 2nd with Tomahawk having their home opener against Great Northern Conference rival Mosinee. Fairman Orthodontics radio pregame show will begin at 4:35, opening pitch at 5 o'clock from Hatchet Field. And our first baseball broadcast of the season will be against Northland Pines. That'll be on April 11th. Tomahawk Baseball, new head coach John Roberts taking over. Fairman Orthodontics radio pregame show at 4:35. Opening pitch will be at 5 o'clock. Game will be at Tyler Carl Memorial Field at Pride Park on Thursday, the 11th. And again, another reminder that all of our regular season baseball and softball broadcasts will be over on our sister station, 810 Sports Talk, 100.7 FM WJJQ. Also, just a quick reminder, at the end of the week, we'll be posting our April sports broadcast schedule. You can go ahead and check that out online at WJJQ.com underneath the local sports tab. That's going to wrap up the sports queue for me here on WJJQ. Thank you very much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you all have a sportacular week, and I'll see you all next week.
Listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ. Be sure to join again next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for the latest sports news around the state and in our Northwoods community, right here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk.